Let's open our Bibles together, and we're turning to the book of Romans in the chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. We want to read some verses from God's precious word here. Romans chapter 5, we'll commence reading the verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. Follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word as we just read the word of God together tonight. And if you haven't your Bible, then just listen to what God says. And the word of God says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so therefore I trust indeed you will listen to the word of God. Romans chapter 5, commencing at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's keep our Bibles open, bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, we praise thee for thy precious word. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And even tonight, Lord, that some precious soul will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for working in our meeting last evening. But, O God, we long to see more of thee and of thy power manifested in this gospel campaign. And so to this end, O God, I trust thee now for power. For thy power it shall not fail. For the words that thou this night shall give me shall and must prevail. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open at this 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Because this 5th chapter of the book of Romans, of course, there is a continuity here in these chapters of the book of Romans. In the chapter number 3. We have indeed the statement and the fact of our justification. In the chapter number 4, we have the examples of our justification in Christ Jesus. And then in chapter number 5, we come to the blessings of justification. And what that means, the blessings of being justified. Now, you notice the first word, the word there in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore. And when you find a therefore or a wherefore commencing a chapter, you will always know that it relates to that which has gone before. In the light, in other words, of what has gone in the previous verses. Therefore, in the light of that. Now, what does in verse 25 of chapter 4, that speaking of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. And so therefore he's speaking about our state or standing of being justified. And Paul is going to outline for us the blessings of the amazing blessings that follow our justification. Blessings that are beyond imagination. The psalmist in Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then, of course, the first one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and then who healeth all thy diseases. If man had been writing that, he'd put it the other way around. Because people say the greatest blessing of all would be, of course, not to be sick, and who healeth all thy diseases. But the Holy Ghost put it right. The greatest blessing of all that a person can ever experience is the blessing of sins forgiven. I can tell you that far goes beyond the healing of the body. Because there's many a man that has got a healing of the body and their soul is sick. And then they die in their sin and they go out into a Christless hell.
and are lost there for all eternity. But thank God, the one who knows the blessing of sins forgiven will never perish. For thank God, none are able to pluck them out of the Savior's hand. The blessing of our justification. Now, of course, that word justification or justify, it simply means to reckon or to account or to judge or to treat or to look upon as righteous. God looking upon us as righteous. And you say, well, how can that happen? When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior and rests their soul on what Christ did on their behalf on the cross of Calvary, friend, and they stake their eternity upon Christ, then that person is counted as righteous in Christ. Remember all the blessings. Look at verse number 1. It says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore all of these blessings come because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins. And thank God the debt was paid in the blood of Christ and through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk in the newness of life. And we are raised with Christ. And thank God we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So therefore, justification is actually a legal term from the courts. And when we appear before God, friend, standing in our sin, we are anything but innocent. We are utterly guilty. We know it, and God knows it. But thank God when we stand justified, when we acknowledge our sin, when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our sin, when we rest our soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, God judges or God treats us as if we were completely innocent because we are justified in Christ Jesus. We are righteous in God's sight, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ which has been reckoned to us. Thank God that's the blessing of our justification. Now, John Blanchard, in his exposition, he said this: in justification, the sinner is not only pardoned, but thank God he's promoted. He's not only pardoned, but thank God he's promoted. And I want to show you tonight, whenever you come into a saving faith in Christ, friend, what God does in your heart and the blessing that God gives you. Look at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, here it is, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Now, Isaiah the prophet in chapter 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith my God, or saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace to the person that is still carrying the load of their sin and still on the Christless road to hell. And friend, tonight, if you're unsaved, if you've never come to Christ and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you stand in your sin. And the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, of course, the Word of God says that there will be preachers in the last days that will come, and they will preach peace, peace, when there is no peace. There are those that stand in the pulpit and tell their congregation, do the best you can. Just be baptized or confirmed or catechized or go through your rituals of religion and say the Lord's Prayer and honor God in that way and everything's going to work out all right. I want to tell you, my friend, I don't care who he is. I don't care what way his collar's turned around. That man's a liar. That's not the way of God's salvation. It's not in works of righteousness that we have done, because we have none. But it is in the righteousness and through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There is no peace. And you can bring yourself and lull your soul into a false peace and think that all's well. Somehow at the end, God's going to open the door of heaven and say, come on in, sinner. You lived in your sin, you died in your sin, but come on into heaven anyhow. I tell you, friend, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You're going to hell. And you'll be there for all eternity. And the faithful man of God will preach it as God gives it and state it as God says it. And God says, there is no peace. There is no peace. Even though you lull yourself into a false peace. Yet as far as God is concerned, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, of course, when we think it says here, we have peace with God. Here's the blessing of our justification. That does not mean we don't have any troubles. That doesn't mean that we don't have trials along the way. But friend, we know that thank God, whenever God looks upon us in Christ and looks upon us as perfected in Jesus, then the alienation, the separation that was because of our sin is no longer there. Thank God we are reconciled to God through the blood of the Savior's cross. Isn't it good to know that all's well when you lay your head on the pillow? And friend, let me tell you this. We don't know what a day brings forth. Many a man has laid his head on the pillow, and before he ever woke in the morning, God had taken him out into God's eternity. But my, isn't it good to know when you lay your head on the pillow that all's well? You're not in worry about it. Thank God you can say, though when peace like a river attendeth my way, though sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Then I ask you this question. Is it well with your soul tonight? I'm not asking you what you own. It doesn't matter because you're going to leave it. It doesn't matter how many friends have crowded around you. You see, whenever you come to die, there's not one who'll cross the river with you. You'll have to cross it. And if you're not saved, you'll cross it alone. But thank God for those that are saved. It can be said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God, the peace of God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. My friend, let me tell you, once we were at enmity with God, but now we're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to know that all is well. That there's nothing can separate you from God's love. There's not a problem. There's not a situation, there's not a difficulty, there's not a trial, there's not a burden that ever comes in your life, friend, that will ever separate you from Christ. So you know all's well, so you're at peace with God. Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But here's the secret, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not have I gotten, but what I received. There's not one of us can boast tonight. My, if you've got peace in your heart and you're right with God tonight, your boast is in the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. It's in what Jesus did for you on the cross. We boast not in ourselves, but thank God we boast in Christ and in Christ alone. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice verse number 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have access by faith. You see, whenever you're saved, friend, you can come freely into God's presence. You're His child. And He wants you to talk to Him. Hey, let me tell you the blessedness of knowing Jesus Christ. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. Thank God we can talk to Him. We can talk to Him. You say, well, what will I talk to him about? Talk to him about, listen, anything. Is there something burdening you tonight? Tell it to Jesus. Is there something breaking your heart tonight? Tell it to Jesus. No matter what it is, my friend, there's not a burden too big. A woman one time came to a preacher and said to him, preacher, tell me, what do I talk? Tell the Lord. He says, do I just tell him the big things? Or is he interested in the wee things? And the preacher looked at her and he said, madam, do you know anything that's big for God? Friend, there's not a big thing for God. Thank God we have access by faith. Thank God we're not bowed down. We're not intimidated. We're not shackled with fear anymore. Whenever we're saved and we're justified by faith, Christ has removed our guilt and our shame. And He has given us a wonderful position of grace. A wonderful position of grace. Not a little wonder John Newton said it's amazing grace. He stood back and he was absolutely amazed at the grace of God. And the standing that he has, he had access. What does that mean? It means to bring in, to introduce. And thank God we are free to go into the royal courts. You know, if you went to the palace tonight, you couldn't get in. But I tell you this, you can go to the King of Kings tonight and you get in. You can come to the throne of grace. And the Bible says, there we shall obtain mercy. Not we might. We shall obtain it. We shall obtain mercy. And we'll find the grace to help in a time of need. What a wonderful blessing we have in Christ tonight. I tell you this. You see, you unconverted people, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you live. You've got the trials and troubles and burdens of life the same as everybody else. And where do you go to? You have no one to go to. Oh, many a man has come to me whenever he's going to... He says, preacher, will you pray for me? And why can't they pray for themselves? I'll tell you why. Because they're not reconciled. They're not right with God. They have no communion with God. They have no relationship with God. But they ought to. They ought to. And praise God, we have access by faith. By faith, into the grace wherein we stand. And then look at the verse again. It says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now thank God that hope is not hope so. For that hope is a blessed assurance. A perfect assurance. It's a surety. It's a confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. And praise God, we possess the hope of glory within our hearts. No matter what happens, thank God we have that assurance that all's well. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Who do I have to fear? Nobody. Nobody. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, friend, thank God we'll fear no evil, even when it's death itself and we're staring death in the face. Thank God we've nothing to fear. Why? Because we have the hope of glory. And we rejoice in it. We rejoice in this hope of glory. This hope that God has given. You know, Fanny Crosby never saw with her natural eyes. But oh, she saw with a spiritual sight. And she wrote those words, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Can I ask you a question? Is it yours? Can you honestly say that? As you sing those words, friend, do they mean anything to you? Or are they just words? Just because the congregation's singing, you just sing the words. But friend, is he yours? Honestly before God, can you honestly say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We have glory along the way in heaven too. Hallelujah. Thank God it says here, we have the hope of glory. Look at verse number 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now you say to me, hold on a minute, preacher. Just that's going a wee bit too far. We glory in tribulations also. And you say that's a blessing. Yes, it is, friend. Yes, it is. And I'm going to explain that to you. You see, friend, the child of God does not need to be overcome by discouragement or defeat in the midst of suffering or trial. The trials of life ought not to swamp the child of God and bring him into despair. I'll tell you why. Because what God's allowing and God sends into your life, friend, you can be sure of this fact. That there's a plan with God. The Word of God says, and we know. Not we think, but we know it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them are the called according to His Word. Now remember a man coming from me nearly the border. And he came down to my house many years ago to Highfield Road when we were living there. And he came with a problem. He had a big problem. And I was the MP at the time and he came to see me. We talked for some time and I must confess the problem was a big one. And at the end of our conversation together he said, you know, Mr. McLean, he said, I was talking to my preacher about this. My minister, and he told me, it'll all work out together for good anyhow. And he says, I'll just take that and I'll encourage myself and I'll just go home. I said, friend, I must confess, I don't know that verse. And he looked at him and he said, listen, it was my minister who told me that. He says he wouldn't tell me a lie, would I? I says, no, I didn't read that verse. Now, he says, let me tell you this. I did read a verse in Romans 8, 28. He says, well, what does that say? I says, it says this. And we know that all things work together. He says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I says, just hold on a minute. Just you hold on a minute. We'll find out whether that's what you're talking about. It says, and we know that all things will work together for good to them that love God. And here's the question, sir. Do you love the Lord? Because let me tell you, my friend, don't you take a verse and comfort yourself whenever you're not in the verse. It says, for the child of God, for the person who's born again of the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, I said it on Sunday morning, and I'm saying it again. There are no accidents with God concerning the child of God. There's no accidents. There are incidents and there are appointments, but there's no accidents as far as God's concerned. All things work together, not some, not most, all. All things work together for good. Maybe you're saying tonight, preacher, if you knew exactly what I'm going through, you wouldn't say that. I want to tell you, friend, God knows all about what you're going through, and He has said it. And He means it. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, let me tell you, God's working out a process in the life of His child. Let's look at the process. Very quickly, it says this. And it says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In other words, with God, there's always a purpose. With God, there's always a plan. He's working patience. And that word means endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance. God's working for your good. Maybe you can't see it. But I tell you, if you love the Lord tonight, that it says here, the trial, or that tribulations work of patience. And then patience, it says, is working experience. And the word experience means integrity, character, or strength. In other words, God is wanting to build up character, godly character. You gain strength through your trials. Through your trials. Remember, a person said to me one day down in the Easter Convention, Mr. McRae, would you go and see a wee lad down in outside Ballymoney? This wee lad had got leukemia. He was dying of leukemia. I went down to see a few days after that, I went down to this home and drove into the yard of a farmhouse there. And there the wee lad was there, and he was very ill. When I went into the home, the mother of the young lad was very glad to see me. She said, my son loves your singing. He has your music on all the time from morning to night. She said, you know, I said to him the other day, I said, son, do you want one of Willie McRae's records on? It was the records at the time. He says, mother, would you put one on? She said, what one do you want, son? He says, put on Through It All. Through It All. Through It All, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And friend, I walked in, as you said, you know, I put it on and I went into the wee back kitchen and was working away, and then he started to sing. I thought somebody had come in. And so therefore I looked in through the door, and she says, there, my wee son had, he was just listening, just pulled himself, he was so weak, he had pulled himself up to the side of the bed, and his wee legs were like little pot sticks just hanging over the side of it. And she says he was singing these words. God, I thank you for the mountains, and I thank you for life's valleys, and I thank you for the storms you brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that you could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And friend, let me tell you, that's exactly what God's working in the heart of his child. Listen, the blessings of God, because the trial of your faith, yes, it worketh patience, and patience it works experience, and then experience works hope. And the word there is to look and to long with surety, to rely on with certainty, to trust with a guarantee. Thank God, the hope of seeing Jesus. Hope of seeing Jesus. Thank God, those who are saved will know one day they'll see Jesus. Remember, wee Annie Dobbin used to come to the meetings here. Wee Annie was in her 90s. I went to see her whenever she was down in the fold there in Macrofelton. She used to go up to town and get her few wee groceries, and she said to me, when I sat down with her in the little room in the fold, she said, "Mr. McRae, you know, I just pray to God before I go up to the town to get my few wee things. And I ask God to help me to come down safely. And when I come down," she says, "I just kneel down at that wee seat there." And she says, "I thank God for bringing me down safely again." And she says, "You know, before I go to bed, you know, whenever the meetings are not on," she says, "I go to bed early. And I walk over to the window. And I stand at the window and I look out. And I look up before I pull the blinds." And I says this, "Maybe tonight, Lord. Maybe tonight." She says, "Maybe tonight I'll see Jesus. I'll see the Lord, the blessed hope of a child of God." Thank God, friend, even the trials that you go through, God's building character, God's building strength, and using all of these things for the honor and the glory of His name. And then it says, verse 5, "Hope maketh not ashamed." You'll not be disappointed. You'll not be disappointed. The Lord will not let you down. I want to tell you, my friend, you can trust Him. You can take the Lord at His word, and thank God He means every last word. And you can take God and you can stand upon His word. It says your hope will never be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank God, friend, you can be conscious and aware of God's love. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how dark the day, to be conscious of the love of God. And that brings us down quickly. We'll come back in a wee moment just to verses 6 and 7. Go to verse 8. But God. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Notice quickly, but God, there's the source of our salvation. But God. I'm told that it occurs 82 times in the Scriptures, but God. Now listen, if you study it and you come up with 83, don't blame me, I'm only quoting what I was told. But let me tell you, all I do know is this, that thank God we find this, that we're drawn to God. Our salvation starts with God. Starts with God. Before it ever reached my heart, it was in the heart of God. I was in the heart of God, friend. Before has the love of God ever reached my heart. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 3:16 says this, "For God so loved." Yes. That wee verse encapsulates the gospel. And how does Jesus start? "For God so loved the world." And that's where our salvation starts. Salvation is of God, friend. It's not your way, it's not my way. It's God's way of salvation. It's God's salvation we're talking about, friend. And salvation belongs unto the Lord. And we are drawn to behold God's redeeming activity. It says here, "But God commendeth His love towards us." God. In spite of who we were, God looked upon us in favor. We sang the hymn tonight, "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given." God's love for sinners. But God. Notice solace here. God commendeth His love towards us. His love. There are many people crying out for love tonight. You know, they're young children and they're being reared in the streets tonight. And they've never sat on a mother's knee. A mother's never held them tight to her breast and said to their little one, "Darling, I love you." And they've been raised without knowing the love of a father, a mother. And that's why many of them are easily prey to the predators that are going about today. Love's a wonderful blessing. The love of a mother. You know, there's a wee verse that says a mother's love's a blessing. No matter where you roam. Keep her when she's living, because you know you'll miss her. when she's gone. Love her as in childhood. Even though she be old and grey, for you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay. Oh, for the loving hand of a mother in a time of need. When a mother puts her hand somehow upon that little head and draws that child to her breast and the child's crying, somehow that mother's love soothes the broken heart. The love of a father. My family know this, that whenever my kids were small, and many times they came in, it was late in the early hours of the morning, there never was a night, but I walked, even when I was sleeping, I walked into each one of their rooms. I stood at each one of their beds and I prayed for them and I kissed them before I went to sleep. The love of a father, what a blessing. The love of a child. Mother, father, you know what I'm talking about. You see, when that love puts their arms around your neck and says, Daddy, Daddy, I love you. I love you. And friend, you know they mean it. You know that it does to your heart, it warms your heart. Mommy, I love you. I love you. The love of a child. The love of a wife and a husband. You know what the Bible says? For love is as strong as death. There's power in love. But the love we're talking about here is not the love of a father. The love we're talking about is the love of a mother. It says, but God commendeth His love. It's the immeasurable. It's the incomparable. It is the inexhaustible. It's even the incomprehensible love of a holy God. In the wee chorus we used to sing, Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. God's love for sinners. We sang a few moments ago, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me. Lord, why did You ever love me? A sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, friend, let me tell you, the Lord didn't love us because we were lovable. He loved us because He loved us. In grace and in mercy, He set His love on us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that word, God commendeth His love towards us. That word commendeth means to show, to prove, to exhibit, to demonstrate. And here God is demonstrating His love for us. How much does God love me? I'll tell you. If you want to understand the love of God, friend, take your place at the foot of the cross. And as you look there upon the bleeding, God, there we see the love of God for you and me, because God loved us and He gave His only begotten Son. As a father, you know, friend, when your child's hurting, that you hurt. Because you have a heart of a loving father. But God loved us and God sent His only begotten Son into this world to save hell deserving, lost, and lonely sinners. On the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, friend, He wasn't trying to get His Father to love His people. But there we have the demonstration of His love. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Very quickly, notice whom God loved. It says in verse 8, God commended His love toward us
in that while we were yet sinners. We haven't time to go into it tonight, but do you notice the description that's in that chapter about those whom God loves? Look at verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, that word there, without strength, means utterly helpless. And not we were weak, we were useless, we were destitute, we were powerless, we were unable to help ourselves. And yet God reached out to us. I wonder, dear sinner, do you see yourself like that? You're going to hell. Save yourself. You can't change your life. Remember a man that used to come to me on a Saturday night. I remember him coming and thumping on the door. And he'd come through the door in 10 Highfield Road, and he would sit down in his drunkenness, and he would sit there and he would cry like a child. And he said, I've tried, preacher, but I can't break the chain. No, friend, you can't. Why? Because you're weak. Without strength. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you say, well, I'm trying the best I can. I'm trying the best to get to heaven. But God says you're weak. You're not able to do it. You're without strength. You'll never make it, friend, of yourself. That's why you need Jesus. That's why Christ is the answer. It says, if you look there in verse number 6, it says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There's the second description. Ungodly. Without God. Unlike God. People tonight in Macrofelton are living as if God didn't exist. There's people who received, whenever they were handed the invitation to come to this mission, friend, they just threw it back in the pit. I don't want that. They threw it back in the pit. And they thought they were smart. Thought they were the big fella. I want to tell you. It's a long in hell for a gospel tract to be given to them to show them the way of salvation. They long for somebody to hand them a gospel tract because that invitation on the back has got God's way of salvation. But they thought with a big person. And God writes upon them, ungodly. Without God! Ephesians 2 tells us a man that's without God is without hope. And now they're going around tonight and listen, they're strutting along the stage of time. And within their breast there's a hopeless soul. They carry a hopeless soul. And they're going to a hopeless grave. And they're going to a hopeless eternity. To a Christless hell. The Bible says they're ungodly. Without God. We live in a godless society. There's no room for God. That's why God's day means nothing anymore. God's day, man doesn't want God's day anymore. Because they want to live the way they want to live. They're the God in their life. That's what the devil promised Eve. You'll become as God. You're your own God. Without God. Ungodly. And then, Jesus says, while we were yet sinners. And the word there is to miss the mark. To miss the mark. It's the archer. Friend, listen, who takes. And he takes aim. And he's aiming at the right place. But he never hits the target. He tries. But will surely fail. You know what the Bible says? There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how you try to do it, friend, you never reach the mark. you'll always fall short. Why? Because you're a sinner. And from the preacher to the last person there at the back of the tent, God says there's no difference. All have sinned. And you might be up and out and friends, look and walk with your nose in the air, or you might be down and out lying in the gutter in the street. But as far as God is concerned, without Christ, you're outside of God's salvation. You're a sinner. And I tell you, until you see you're a sinner, you'll never see you. Oh, people get their hackles up whenever the preacher talks about you're a sinner and how dare you tell me, friend. Let me tell you, friend, how dare I tell you anything else? Wouldn't it be far better to get down off the platform and out through that door and go home if I'm going to tell you a lie? All the people want you to whitewash them today. I want to tell you this. I'm preaching here, the blood of Jesus can wash you white. You don't need to be whitewashed. You need to be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Your sin needs to be taken away. And then there's one other description. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Enemies. And dear unconverted person, let me tell you tonight, you are an enemy of God. Oh, but I always loved the Lord. I always loved the Lord. Then I want to tell you, that's not true. It is not true. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't love God's Son. And if you don't love God's Son, you don't love God. And if you did love God's Son, you would surrender your heart and life to Him. And yet you've rejected the blessed Son of God. You don't love the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, God says you're His enemy. You're either with me or against me, says Jesus. It's either one or the other. Are you on the side of the Lord tonight? Very quickly, here's the last thought. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, listen to these words, Christ died for us. And friend, there's the sacrifice. Christ died for us. See, the love of God's not cheap. Some people say, you tell them God's way of salvation, they'll say, that's too simple, preacher. Surely I have to pay something. I've got to do something. The Bible says, come without money, without price. You come, friend, as a sinner, lost, helpless, hopeless, to Jesus. There's nothing cheap about the gospel, friend. For the price of my salvation was paid in the coinage of Jesus' blood. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But thank God Jesus washed my sin away. You see, it says Christ died for our sin. Christ died for us. That's the truth of the gospel. And the word died, you notice, in verse 6 it says, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 7, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some years ago, there was a Swiss theologian. His name was Karl Barth. He came over to the United States of America and was addressing this great auditorium of young people. They were asking the great mind and theologian, many great questions. And after he spoke, there was a session of questions and answers. One young man raised his hand and he said, "Barth, could you tell us what was the greatest thought that ever crossed your mind in all your years of study?" For a moment, Dr. Barth stopped, and the young man was waiting for this convoluted answer. He expected practically an incomprehensible answer to his question. And then Dr. Barth said this, "Young man, you asked me a question. What was the greatest thought that ever crossed my mind in all my years of study?" "Young man, the answer is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a hymn he learned at his mother's knee, the hymn he sung as a child about the love of Jesus for him. Listen, it says Christ died for us. What does that mean, friend? For us. For us. Sinners. Ungodly. Enemies. Weak and helpless. Christ died for us. He said, "Father, I'll go." And he stepped out of the glory. "I'll veil myself and become flesh and veil my Godhead in mortal clay. Father, I'll die that they'll live." Friend, that's love. You see, I thought about this afternoon again. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory and he stepped out into this world. And he walked among men, and the Bible says he was despised and he was rejected of men. They mocked him, they abused him, they denied him, they cursed him, they arrested him, they tortured him. And the Father watched it all. The Father watched it all. He never intervened. Why, friend? Because of his love for you. And then he went to the cross. And they lifted the Lord Jesus high upon that oak tree and nailing him to the cross. And the bleeding body with his brow that was pierced with thorns stood upon him. They mocked him and jeered him. The humiliation, suffering, the agony. They yielded up the ghost. They became a lifeless corpse. They wrapped him in a shroud. They put him into a tomb. Why, friend? Because of his love for you and me. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? He did it all for me. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for mine iniquity. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. Thank God, with his stripes I'm healed. And thank God, I'm going to make it to heaven, friend. No demon in hell will stop me getting there. And I owe it all to Jesus. And to Him alone. Let me ask you a question as I close tonight. In the light of this cross, God commending His love toward you, in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Tell me. What will you do with God's love? I tell you, sinner, what you've done already. You've lived every day rejecting God's Son. You took the breath that God breathed into your body, because God breathed into man and you became a living soul. And you took that breath every single day you've lived to this day. And you've lived for yourself. Not God. And you've lived for your sin. Without God. And you've walked past the cross. And you've rejected the Son of God, and you've walked over the blood of Christ, and you've counted it as if it were nothing. And you said, I don't need the Savior. And I don't want the Savior. But I say to you in God's name today, or tonight, be very careful. Because there come a day when God will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll go to the blackness and the darkness and the endlessness of a Christless hell forever. Not only doomed, but damned. And God forbid you'll be there. Because in hell you'll remember the message that McRae preached in the tent, September 2018. God commendeth His love towards you. And you rejected it. You turned your back on it. You see, the world's offering you something else, isn't it? It's offering you fun. It's offering you excitement. Then, my friend, you young people, have you ever stood at the side of a coffin of a young person and looked into a friend's face? Tell me, what excitement's there? Tell me, what laughter's there? And then remember this thought as I finish. As you look into that face in that coffin, remember they're not there. They're souls in eternity. And so are yours. What a tragedy if it's hell and no coming back. It's time to get saved for him. Stop the codding. Stop fooling your soul. Stop listening to the devil's lie and the tinsel that he has got to offer and the bright lights. Because I can tell you, in a moment the bright lights can go down. And into the darkness. God give you grace to come to Him. Come to Him now. Yield to His love for Him. Bow to Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. Let's bow our heads. Father, bless your word to our hearts tonight. We thank Thee for Thy precious truth. We thank You for the truth that you so loved us and you commended your love towards us that while we were yet sinners, rotten, hell-deserving sinners, God, you so loved us, you gave your darling Son and sent him to the cross to die for us. What amazing love. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Meeting will be over in a moment. Can I ask you a simple question? What is the love of God tonight? You walk past the cross. Will you walk past God's mercy and grace and God's love and say, I don't want it? Or will you say with the words of the hymn writer, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. Let's sing one little verse and the meeting's over. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. Listen, the Lord Jesus bidding you to come. Will you answer, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood for me. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm resting my soul in what you did for me at the cross. I trust you as my Savior. Will you come? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we sing a little verse. Just slip that hand above your head that I'll see a sinner or backslider. Indicate that desire that you're coming to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am with God one plea, but that thy blood, he shed his blood for you, friend. Will you come to him? Will you yield to him? Is there one tonight in this meeting? Would you slip that hand right now, preacher? Lead me to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to know my sins forgiven. I want to be sure of heaven. Is there one before we close? O Lamb of God, I come. I beg you in God's name, don't go home without Christ, friend. Don't presume on tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow night. Let me tell you, friend. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. O God, bring the awe and reverence of eternity upon every soul in this meeting tonight. And turn every backslider back to you and every sinner to the Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we're here to help you. I beg you, don't go away without the Lord. Come and speak to us. We'd gladly show you from God's word how you can be saved. You're saved. Be sure you're saved and ready for heaven. Be as sure of heaven as if you're there as possible through Christ alone. We're here to help you. Come and speak to us. Mr. McKee, myself, will gladly open the word of God and lead you to Christ's little inquiry room just alongside there, just the other side of the tent. May God give you grace to come. God bless you.